Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Acts chapter 14, we read where the Lord used Paul to perform a miracle. We read in verse 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked." The same heard Paul speak. He heard Paul preaching the gospel. The same heard Paul speak who, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. This man who was a cripple from his mother's womb, when he heard the command of Paul, "Stand upright and walk," this man who had been laying there all of his life literally leaped up. There wasn't a gradual process of him gaining strength. He leaped up and he walked. Now, I know that this has been used by what are called faith healers. They say, if you have the faith, you can be healed. And if you're not healed, it's because you didn't have the faith like this cripple at Lystra did. Now, my dear friends, that's foolishness. That's all it is. For one thing, men do not have the power they had in the New Testament to perform these miracles. If somebody says, "Prove that to me," well, Acts chapter 8 says when they saw that by the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. It's only the 12 apostles that could transfer these miraculous gifts. And when they died, nobody else was able to transfer these gifts. Now, somebody says, "Don't they have those miracles today?" No, they don't. And if a man claims to have these miracles, he's a phony and he's a fraud. That's all there is to it. I make no apology for saying that. Because if a man did have miracle working power, why isn't he going into a hospital and healing people that are laying in intensive care with horrible diseases? Because they can't do it. They're phonies. And when they say, "Well, it's because you didn't have faith to be healed," no, you just missed it altogether. Now, that being said, let's consider this miracle, because this miracle gives us a beautiful type of the gospel. It tells us what happens when God saves a sinner. Now, I think it's very interesting where it says, when Paul saw that he had faith to be healed, that word "healed" is the same word that's generally translated "saved." It's this word, "By grace are you saved." Same word. So you could just as easily translate this, faith to be saved. This physical miracle that took place, and indeed it did take place, gives us a picture of what happens when God saves a sinner. Now, the first thing that I would notice is God's sovereignty in salvation. The scripture says, certain man at Lystra. A certain man. God only saves certain men. God's salvation is not generic. God's salvation is not universal. He doesn't save everybody. God's salvation is not potential. God will save you if. God's salvation is not an offer. It's not offered to you up for your acceptance or rejection. That's not the way it works. God's salvation is certain. He saves everybody he intends to save. Now, there may have been other cripples at Lystra, but he only intended to save this one cripple. Now, every elect sinner is a certain man that he came to save. Listen to this scripture. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now that describes every certain man that God saves, someone he chose to save before the foundation of the world. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, this certain man is described in four ways in our text. And there said a certain man at Lystra, it says he was impotent in his feet, being a cripple. Third, from his mother's womb. And fourth, he never had walked. This was the state of this man. This was the state, illustrates the state of the natural man. And everybody that is a certain sinner he came to save will fit this description. First of all, the man was impotent in his feet. Now that word impotent means powerless. Powerless. Not weak, but powerless. As a matter of fact, this word is used 10 times in the New Testament, and 7 times is translated impossible. When the rich young ruler left the Lord Jesus, after the Lord said to sell all you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, come and follow me, he was very sorrowful. And he left. And the 12 looked at this man leaving and they said, who then can be saved? If this man cannot be saved, who then can be saved? And the Lord said, with men it is impossible. Salvation is impossible if it's just left up to man, because he is powerless. If salvation is dependent upon me being able to do something, I will not be saved. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You and I are unable to do anything to save ourselves. And if salvation is in any way dependent upon you and I, we will not be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. Is this a theological concept to you, or is this your reality? You know that you are unable to do anything to save yourself. And if God leaves you alone, you will not be saved. You will be condemned. This man was powerless. And then it says, being a cripple. This is the man's state of being. He was powerless, being a cripple. Now, this word means deprived of a foot. It's translated sometimes in the scriptures, maimed and halt, but the word by definition means being deprived of a foot. Evidently, this man either had a club foot or his foot was not there. Maybe he was only born with one foot. I don't know what the situation was, but I know the Lord said, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, because it's better to go into life with one foot than to have 2 feet cast into hellfire. Now, the point is, this man did not have what he needed to have in order to be saved. He was without a foot. And if you know yourself, you don't have what it takes for you to be saved. You don't have a new heart. You don't have a new nature. You don't have a holy nature. You can't do the things that are required of you because you don't have them. You can't believe. That's beyond your grasp. You can't repent. You can't love. You don't even know what these things mean unless God gives you a new heart. These things are impossible for the natural man. His state was that of being a cripple, without a foot, lacking that which he needed to have. Now, how long had he been this way? We read in verse 8, there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. He was born that way. And every man that's born into this world, every woman that's born into this world is born a sinner. Sin comes natural to you. You don't become a sinner when you sin. You sin because you're already a sinner. You were born that way. You were born with an evil nature. Because of Adam's fall, you inherited his nature. You were born a liar. You were born an adulterer. You were born a thief. You were born a sinner. There's no such thing as an innocent person. We were born that way. And what's the result of this? It says, who never had walked. And my dear friend, me and you, we have never kept God's law one time. All we have done is broken God's law. That's it. Somebody says, not me. Well, you're blind then. You don't see who God is and you don't see what the law means. You don't see yourself. If you have any understanding of yourself, you'll know that all you have done is broken God's law. That was the state of this man. But the scripture says in verse 9, the same heard Paul speak. He was laying there, being a cripple from his mother's womb, having never walked. The same heard Paul speak. Perhaps this was the first time he'd ever heard a gospel message. But he was hearing the gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel at that time. The same heard Paul speak. And then it says this about Paul, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul looked at this man, and he saw that he had faith to be healed. Now, the word healed or saved is in the passive voice. This is so important. Not in the active voice, but in the passive voice. He saw that he had faith to be saved. Now, if any part of my salvation is dependent upon my activity, me doing something before God can do anything for me, if there's a step I must first take before God will respond to me, I won't be saved. And salvation really is by works, if that is so. But that's not the way God's salvation works. You see, even the faith I have, and I do believe, I believe God. I have faith. It's me believing, not somebody for me. I have faith. But it didn't begin with me. It began with God giving it to me. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I have repentance. I'm in a state of repentance. A state of a change of mind. And that was not because I repented. It's because God granted me repentance. Then hath God to the Gentiles also granted, freely given repentance unto life. Now I love the Lord. I love Him as He is. I love His isness. I love Him as He's revealed in the Scripture. And the reason I love Him is because He first loved me. We read in 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Now this language is so exact and it's so important. Faith to be saved, passive. In every aspect of salvation, I'm passive. Now that doesn't mean I'm indifferent. It doesn't mean that I just sit like a knot on the log and I hear the gospel and say, well, if God's going to do something for me, He will. If not, He won't. Nothing I can do about it. And just have kind of a fatalistic attitude. I'm not talking about that at all. But I know this. In my election, I was passive. God chose me before time began. I wasn't even around. And He didn't choose me because He saw something that I would do. He saw how sinful I would be, but He chose me to be saved. I was passive. In justification, when God justified me, I was passive in that. He declared me to be just. I didn't do anything to make myself that way. He declared me to be just because of Christ's work on the cross for me. In redemption, I was passive. I didn't ask God to pay for my sins. I didn't ask God to take them away. He took them away. He paid for them. He put them away before I was ever born, actually before the world began, in the sense that Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When I was regenerated, I was passive in that. When my parents conceived me, they didn't ask me about it. They conceived me. I was passive in it. And in regeneration, this is God's work. He says, live. He doesn't say, do you want to live? He says, live. I live. I'm passive. In this thing even of perseverance, the only reason I persevere, and I do persevere, by His grace, I'm going to persevere all the way to the end, but it's because He keeps me. It's because He preserves me. When I'm glorified, when I'm made just like Christ, it's not going to be because of some activity on my part. It's going to be because He does this for me. You see, salvation is of the Lord. By grace are you saved, through faith. Now the scripture says the same heard Paul. He heard Paul preaching the gospel. He'd been given ears to hear. Remember when the Lord said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear? Not everybody has ears to hear, but this man did. He heard Paul. The hearing ear and the seeing eye are of the Lord. He heard Paul. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, listen to this scripture from 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, not man's opinion, not a denominational distinctive, not what the Baptists believe or the Catholics believe or the Methodists believe. You received it as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. When this man heard, he didn't just hear Paul speaking. He heard this as the very truth of God. If all you hear is my voice, it won't do you any good. But if you hear the Word of God, the same heard Paul speak. He was like that bunch in Acts chapter 13 after Paul finished preaching that message. We read, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Oh, it came as good news to them. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, we're not given exactly what Paul said when this man heard, but we know he was hearing the gospel. Because that's all Paul preached was the gospel. And insofar as our personal experience goes, it begins with our hearing. And it says that Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, he looked upon this man and he could see that he had faith to be healed. He could see it on his face. Now, obviously, I can't see your face right now. I'm looking at a camera. And when I'm preaching to the congregation, I'm looking upon faces. Sometimes I'll see faces that seem indifferent, bored. Sometimes I'll see faces that obviously are not believing. Sometimes I'll hear faces or see faces that are loving what they're hearing and hanging on every word. But you know what? I can't really tell what somebody's believing, whether somebody believes by the way they look. Anything can be counterfeited. So I know I don't know what's going on when somebody might act like they're listening or not act, or act like they're not listening at all, or somebody acts happy or glad. I don't know what's going on in their heart. But somehow Paul knew that this man had this faith to be healed. The expression on his faith, let Paul know. And what was it that Paul saw? He saw he had faith to be healed. Now, to be healed, like I said, is in the passive. Faith to be saved. It's what God does. But what about this thing of faith? He saw he had faith to be healed. Faith to be saved. Now, what is faith? Faith is believing Him. Faith doesn't have anything to do with what you believe about yourself. It has wholly to do with what you believe concerning Him. I love what the Lord said to the woman at the well. Woman, believe me. In John chapter 11, this is after Lazarus has died. And the Lord says to Martha, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I already know that doctrine. I understand that. I know that. And look at the way the Lord replied to her. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not an event. I am the resurrection. When I will be raised from the dead, all of my people will be raised from the dead. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the life of every one of my people. My life is their life. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I know you've got your doctrine straight, but do you believe that I am salvation? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. I am the Creator. I am the brightness of God's glory and the express image of His person. I am the one who upholds all things by the word of my power, and by me all things consist. I am. Belief is believing Him. And you can only believe Him if you know who He is. Whom do men say that I am? Well, they put you in some high cotton. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Faith is believing Him. That's what saving faith is. And when you have faith, listen to this very carefully. When you really have faith, you have faith only. Jairus is coming back hopeful that the Lord will heal his daughter. She was very sick. And they come to him when he was on his way over there with the Lord and said, trouble not the master, your daughter's dead. I can just see the optimism turning to utter despair. My daughter's dead. And the Lord looked at him and said, believe only, and thy daughter shall live. Now, let me say this about faith. Faith is by itself. It's believe only. What do I mean by that? Well, I hear preachers quite often make this statement, turn from your sins and trust Christ. That's not believing only. When I hear that, all I think of is the things I need to do and the things I need to get straightened out. I need to stop this sin. I need to stop that sin. I need to start doing this good thing. I need to start doing that good thing. And then I can trust Christ. That's just another form of salvation by works. When somebody makes a statement like that, all you hear is about what you got to do. Now, somebody's thinking, are you saying it's you don't need to turn from your sins? You can just remain in your sins? Sin's never okay. Under any circumstance, sin's never okay. But if I say turn from your sins and trust Christ, I'm not preaching the gospel. I'm mixing up the gospel with works. Believe only. You're to look to Christ alone, not to Christ and anything in you. You're to look to Christ alone. That is faith only. And faith that is saving faith, faith to be saved, is a faith that really believes salvation is by grace. Peter said in Acts chapter 15, verse 11, "For we believe that by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Even as they," those Gentiles, "we believe we've been saved by His grace, we're being saved by His grace, and we will be saved by His grace." Salvation is by grace, not of works. Grace or works. Those who believe, believe all of grace. And then there's a story in Luke chapter 17 where the Lord healed 10 lepers. And one of them came back to glorify God. Only one. And the Lord said, "Were there not 10? Where are the 9? And then He looked at that one who came back to glorify God. And He said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee." Now, this is one thing I know that faith will always do. Faith looks to Christ alone. Faith really believes grace. And true faith always returns to give Christ all of the glory. If it doesn't return to give Christ all of the glory, it's not saving faith. Now, Paul saw that this man had faith to be healed or to be saved. And I love this statement in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul warns us of those who receive not the love of the truth. Faith loves the truth. I love that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I love the God the Bible presents who really is God. He's in control of everything, absolutely sovereign. I love being told I'm nothing but sin. For this reason, tells me I'm not to look to myself. I'm looked outside of myself for salvation. I love the fact that God elected a people, because I know if He didn't, I wouldn't be saved. I love that Jesus Christ successfully atoned for sin and saved everybody He died for, because that's the only hope I have, is that Christ died for me. If you tell me He can die for me and I can, or anybody, and then wind up in hell, you've taken away my only hope. I love the fact that salvation is by grace, invincible and irresistible grace, because I know if it wasn't, I'd resist it. I love that He preserves His people. Oh, faith loves the truth. It's not just a bare intellectual assent to it. Faith loves the truth. And then we read in our text, He said with a loud voice, when He saw that he had faith to be healed, He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leaped and he walked. May God enable you and I to do the same.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.